podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Now, currently, there are six teams that could play that midweek, which are Villa, Everton, Leeds, City, Southampton and Tottenham.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything... Planet Sky FF. Well, yeah, you're right. You can forgive me today because the world does not revolve around £50,000 today.
Do you want to start again?
Nah. Leave it all in. The world does not revolve around £50,000 today, James. Do you know why?
Has it gone wrong for you, is it?
No. I'm actually quite comfortable. We're going to talk about Sky in a minute. I'm talking about something completely different. That fucking orange tangerine twat is no longer in the White House as of today. Oh. And so it's a very, very important fucking day for so many other reasons that nothing that happens in Sky Fantasy Football matters whatsoever. Donald is gone. Long live Donald.
Right. I dare to say, sir, that all the listeners probably completely disagree with that sentiment.
What? And Donald is gone?
No, sir. Sky is more important than what's happening in America. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, it feels like a long time coming that this day has been. It's a bit of almost an anti-climax where you're waiting for something for so long. Anyway, I think I've probably won back about 30 minutes a day of my life because that's how much I used to dedicate to laughing at American politics. And I'm going to use that 30 minutes to play Sky now.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So you're up to 75th, sir.
76th, I think. 76th. Yeah. I don't know if that's joint 75th or any malarkey like that. It's about 9 points off top 50 or so. You have to say, I'm not feeling as positive about Sky as I have been recently. I don't know if that's because, I mean, I've still got Kurt Zouma. So it's like a lurking around problem for me at the moment. That's probably, we'll talk about it, it's doing my head in a little bit. But I feel like, I kind of feel like I'm in the same position that I was 2-3 weeks ago. Now, don't get me wrong, it could have got worse.
It's hard to make rises. Well,
you're looking at people in the top 100 leaderboard, as I was last night on FF Stuff's website, and it's people now in like the top 50 or so, and they were like 200th or so a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like,
sure,
these guys have had a jump, whereas I haven't gone down, but I just feel like I'm kind of floating in the same place. I mean, this time last week, I was like 115th or something. So I've shot up a bit more, but I'd also come down from sort of 75th a couple of weeks ago. So I feel like I've kind of just stayed stationary and used transfers. That. So
a couple of questions for you, and I hope you put it into a bit of context. How many transfers have you got left now?
18.
So you used a couple. What did you do for Arsenal in the end? Did you go with Gabriel or did you go with Holding?
Well, the story starts earlier because I was very much debating, as I kind of said last week, about getting Rodri, which I didn't do. But I decided, it was the most indecisive I'd been about Sky transfer all season, whether I was going to get Rodri or not.
So I was looking at a second. You're about to tell your story of the last week, and then I'm going to tell mine. And this pod is going to be the tale of two Sky weeks. So go on.
All right.
Because mine's going to be completely different to yours.
This sounds good. Yeah. So what did you forget? So
you didn't get... No, I haven't forgotten anything. But I do still have Zouma like you. But we'll talk about that. So go on.
I didn't get Rodri. But I decided that I was going to get Rodri. This is kind of the point. Yeah. So I spoke last week about...
On Wednesday.
Last Wednesday when City played Brighton. Because it was the start of the run. Yeah. So I was already on De Bruyne, Stones and Diaz. Decided I was definitely getting Cancelo. And was I going to add Rodri as well? And it was a case of was I selling Robertson, Grealish or Neto? So decided that I didn't want to sell Neto when they still had West Brom on a Saturday and I could make that move afterwards if necessary. I decided that I was going to do Robertson to Cancelo and Grealish to Rodri. I decided to go through with it because in my opinion, I genuinely didn't think Villa Newcastle this coming Saturday was going to happen. I said that last week. At 25-6, I got wind that Sheffield Wednesday's next two championship fixtures had been postponed.
Yeah.
And this was 25 minutes before Manchester City kicked off. I hadn't made the transfers. And one of Sheffield Wednesday's two fixtures that were postponed was against Wickham. And it put enough doubt in my mind. And if you've been away talking about that, well, Tottenham have got Wickham in the FA Cup. And I figured that if somebody used their brain, then Wickham would have played Tottenham this midweek in the Cup and Tottenham would have played Villa in the league this weekend, which would have made the complete sense to have just done that. So I thought, I ain't got Kane either. I need to keep hold of Grealish. Then at that point, I'm thinking in my head, oh my God, Kane's playing tonight as well and he might have this extra game against Villa. Fuck, what am I going to do? So I decided the best course of action was just to go Robertson to Cancelo and breathe. And then I'll buy Gabriel tomorrow once I've got a bit more information. Of course, the Arsenal team drops. No Gabriel.
Yeah.
Great. What am I going to do now? So the obvious one was Holding, which I know the majority of people went for and have done very well. I know like Luke from Scout bought Holding, I think, when Arsenal played Brighton a couple of weeks back, the day after Everton City was postponed. And he's had like a monster return off. He's had like 60 points off him in like four games or so. Really well done. Unbelievable at that value, right? But I had enough concern about it that I'd spoke in the past about Luiz, Gabriel and Mari competing for left-sided centre-back and Luiz and Holding competing for right-sided centre-back. And I had enough concern that, look, Gabriel's just come back to training. Is it possible that Luiz plays right-sided centre-half against Newcastle and Gabriel plays left-sided? So there was enough doubt in my mind to just go, I don't like this. Because I'd obviously done Robertson to Cancelo, I had money in the bank. And I thought, you know what? Ideally, I want an Arsenal player that's just going to carry me through to overhaul here. So I thought, I'll go Leno.
Yeah.
And that's what I decided to do. And that worked out as a little bit of a touch because admittedly, he didn't match Holding's points, but we'll take the 36 points for that all day long.
Yeah, over two games, course, if you're including last night's match as well. Tidy.
To show you how you can have good luck and bad luck in this game, I didn't really want to be selling Meslier before Brighton. You fucking missed it with COVID, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I ended up with Leno. Then obviously Saturday happened with Zuma, Captain Bamford, like quite a few people, which was obviously rubbish. But then you got this Zuma problem coming up. It's like, shall I rework this to get another City player again for the Palace game tomorrow? Wasn't comfortable enough. And I just thought, no guarantee that Thiago Silva doesn't get a rest at Leicester because he struggles to play two games back to back. And could it be that Zuma comes back in, right? I'd have been gutted if I sold him. But what it did know in my head, because also not having Vardy was like, shit, I've now got to get to Antonio on Tuesday, yesterday.
Yeah. Did you get him?
I made that. Yeah, yeah, I got him and I captained him.
Zuma?
For Neto.
Okay, yeah.
For Neto. So as I said, I didn't really want to sell Neto before the West Brom game because I couldn't feel the gain of someone else. So I could have gone Neto to Antonio on Saturday. And obviously in hindsight, yeah, great, wish I'd done that. But it's easy to say that in hindsight. So the original thinking was Gabriel to Antonio yesterday. Then that got flipped because of Leno. And I thought, well, I'll hold that. So I ended up going Neto to Antonio yesterday. And that means I've still got Zuma. And I think a lot of people have definitely come off Curtis Zuma. That's fairly obvious from his ownership in the top 1,000 is now just below 30%. And it's nagging at me a way to what to do. I've got 0.1 in the bank and I can't go up to sort of 8 millions and stuff like that. Like, to be honest, if I could go straight to Joel Matip, if he was back in the team tomorrow, I wouldn't hesitate. I'd just get Joel Matip back. But I obviously can't do that. At the moment, I can't get to Harry Kane, which I don't want to at this minute, but I feel that that could come back for me when Tottenham play Brighton on Sunday week. So I'd need to come down at least 0.1 more to at least open up the possibility of going De Bruyne to Kane. Otherwise, it would have to be Salah to Kane. And as they're both playing the same day, that's not the opportunity that I want to do that. The name that's haunting me is El Ghazi.
Yeah.
That's the name that's paining me. It kind of depends where you're at in terms of what you want to do for Villa now. So look, if you've sold Grealish because you thought the game wasn't going to happen, like I didn't think the game was going to happen, then it's really unfortunate. Don't forget, if Jack Grealish gets booked tonight, he'll miss that game on Saturday anyway through suspension. So those sitting there going, I've still got Grealish like me, listen, that might come back
and still
face,
yeah,
that could face plant in the next few hours, right? And that's part why I've also got El Ghazi in my head. He's basically not owned. Likes to shoot from everywhere. they've got a 6-4 over everybody, and it's a possibly it's a 7-4. Not everybody, but the majority of teams. It could be a seven. They could have 7 games left, Villa, quite possibly, because if
before the overhaul.
Yeah, well, the overhaul's scheduled for the weekend of Saturday the 6th, week 23 in the Premier League. But midweek afterwards is FA Cup 5th round. Now, currently, there are 6 teams that could play that midweek, which are Villa, Everton, Leeds, City, Southampton and Tottenham. So Leeds and Southampton, obviously, that could go there. We know that's not going to be the weekend now after Southampton beat Shrewsbury last night. For Villa to play that midweek, they'd need Tottenham to lose to Wickham or Everton to lose to Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup. Now, right now, you'd go both's unlikely. Everton probably play Tottenham. But let's just say Tottenham did lose to Wickham. I'm very, very confident that it would go into that midweek, for example. So you need to be cautious of, I think, of those 6 teams that I mentioned. Villa, Everton, Leeds, City, Tottenham and Southampton. Burnley, Fulham won't go in now because they play each other in the FA Cup 4th round. So obviously they can't both go out of the competition. Those 6 teams you need to be cautious of if you're selling assets at the moment. And that's the other thing that makes me want to go to Villa. So if Grealish gets booked tonight, I would still look at it at the weekend and think, bloody hell, I can still get Elgazi, extra game over most people, a captaincy. So then it becomes an effective extra game. And there could be one more in the end as well. And that makes me, even though it's City away tonight, the guys on penalties, that makes me want to go for it. I don't think I'm going to.
After all that, I had really...
The reason I don't think I'm going to is it's the Zuma problem. The 4 games they've got before the overhaul, Wolves, Burnley, Tottenham, Sheffield United, if Zuma comes back in the team, he'll push past 30 points on those 4 games, in my opinion. And then do I look at Elgazi and go, even in 7 games, is Elgazi going to do the business for me? And it would probably, ironically, only be worth it if Jack Grealish got booked tonight.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense.
Sorry. Tell us about your week, mate.
Well, I'd taken the view over just after the Christmas period that clearly I'd had to use more transfers, like most of us had, than we had planned for because of COVID and postponements and all the rest of that kind of stuff.
Injuries.
Yeah, I was really adamant that I was now going to try and hold as many transfers back to post-overhaul because there's going to be even more chaos, which I'm still convinced there will be, for as long as possible, and only use transfers to give me captaincy coverage on days that I was screwed and I didn't have any captaincy coverage. So I ended up buying Saka last week for Romelu, who had a flag anyway and whatever else. I thought, look, you know what? Whoever I buy from Arsenal, which was a point that you made on the show last week, I want to keep them until overhaul and be happy with them until overhaul. I would have gone balls out and gone Emil Smith Rowe, mate. But you were like, just go sensible and stick with Saka. I said, fine, right. James is probably right. We're here. That little bit of extra, just like sensible rather than going a bit maverick is the right thing to do. I actually think Smith Rowe now is where I would have rather gone. But you know what? The price difference between the two isn't that much in this game. So I ended up with Saka, who did nothing last week, but ended up with a great return this Monday night. So that was okay. But Zuma was a problem for me. So this Saturday, I captained Zuma and I only ended up 2 points on Saturday, which was from Stuart Dallas.
And the top nothing scoring team on Saturday I saw was about 8 points, mate. It was a disaster for everybody.
My Sunday wasn't too bad. I had KDB captain, but I had Bruno, Salah, Son, Diaz, Robertson. So Robertson and Diaz picked me up decent points. De Bruyne did okay as captain. Bruno blanked, Salah blanked, but Sonny got me the assist. So it wasn't the worst. Monday night, as I said, Saka's done okay.
It wasn't the worst, but John Stones outscored nearly all of them.
Forget about it. We'll talk about it. So and Zuma, I stuck with Zuma yesterday. I was really umming and ahhing about Zuma to Antonio. And I was like, stick to my guns. Unless I really know he's out and it's confirmed, I'm going to stick with Zuma and I'll worry about it. And I also knew that this Friday we're getting more fixture announcements and I'll actually be able to make a slightly longer term.
Hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed. But soon we're getting more fixture announcements. I'll be able to make a longer-term game plan, so let's stick with it. I've got captaincy coverage all the way through till Saturday, which is the Villa game. I'm not going to force a transfer. And I didn't. So prior to all of this, I was 100 points behind you. I'm now 160 points behind you. But I have 21 transfers. So the three transfers between us, if I allow 10 points for each one, that's 30 points. And I give the other 30-point difference to John Stones. I was partly looking at it thinking, right, if I sit back and do nothing, I could end up really falling behind and I'm going to kick myself. Or I might be still within touching distance, that it's not the situation I want to be in, but it's actually not gone from reasonably touching distance to disastrous. And I don't think it has 160 points. I think I've lost rank, definitely. I'm like inside the top 3K, not 2K now. But I'm not bothered because I think I've held back some options moving forward. Now I can decide, do I want to pile into City or not? My plan between now and overhaul is still, if I use more than two transfers, I'll be upset because I want to hold back as much as I can and then be very aggressive post-overhaul.
I wanted to be done, really, to be honest. With
I think a lot of people did.
The Arsenal transfer was.
A lot of people did.
With it in mind that, okay, if Antonio performs against Burnley, I'm probably going to have to get him because there'll be such a jump in his ownership. I mean, Antonio in the top 1,000 went from 10% ownership pre-game yesterday to 51% ownership in the top 1,000. And I think a lot of us could smell that there was going to be a big steam into him. And obviously for a lot of people, it was obvious, wasn't it? Zuma to Antonio. And obviously that's the move I could have made as well. I just knew that if Zuma played last night, if he was back in the team, it was going to curse me because of not last night. I didn't particularly expect anything at Leicester other than probably a Parsons here. But it's the four fixtures afterwards where comfortably whoever plays centre-half for Chelsea could hit tier two in all four of those games. And, you know, Wolves... who have they got? Wolves, Burnley, Tottenham and Sheffield United. I mean, it could be as shit as they've been. That could be four clean sheets. And that's why I'm loathe to make the move early. The other major bonus on Zuma, if I hold my nerve, and I'm not sure that I can, is that the Wolves game next week is 6 o'clock kickoff. So we will see the team. And then at that point for me, obviously if he's not in the team, I've got to look at what I'm doing. Yeah, absolutely. And it might be a case that I can see the fixtures, and as much as I hate, say, Southampton and Newcastle, if it's a Friday night, it's another one. I don't think there will be a Friday night game, but that on the Friday the 5th, then it might be that I just go, shit, I'll end up going someone like Bednarek or something. But I think they're playing on the Tuesday, so that one wouldn't work. But find a solution like that and just run with it and just go or open the money up. One name I've already been considering as a possible for next Wednesday is Tosin Adarabioh of Fulham. So they're doing really well at the moment. He's 5.2. I'm not bothered if I have him against Man United tonight because there'd be enough. If they keep a clean sheet, great. It'd be 7 point or whatever. But their fixtures from next week, they walk into Brighton and West Brom immediately, then Leicester, West Ham are both at home. And they've improved massively since they changed system, ironically, when they played Leicester at the King Power a couple of months ago. He's 5.2. He's an absolute lock. And then that opens up for me to even be able to go, say, Fernandes to Kane, if that's the move I want to make when Tottenham play Brighton. So the idea that Zuma, at least I'll get the team next week, makes me want to hold, ideally. And I think they've been so shit that I think it's possible that they might even change to a back three and go Zuma, Rudiger and Thiago Silva sit in between the two of them. And you think with Reece James and Ben Chilwell for wing-backs.
Decent wing-backs.
That's ideal, isn't it? You can play Mount and Kante will probably be back. Play the two of them. They've got all the energy in the middle of the pitch. And then you can still get a front three on the pitch. Although all of them up there are not doing anything at the moment.
I mean, they were not good yesterday, Chelsea. But of all the players that always stands out for me as puts in a shift and is a threat is Reece James. I mean, did have that one shot. Kasper Schmeichel made a good save in the first half and what have you. And Reece James in this game and in FPL is a really good price. So I don't mind. I would be really happy if Chelsea even did that. Not that I own Reece James, but I'd consider him.
So I think I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of, I think for a lot of other people, Will Garzy is a really good shout. And I genuinely think that if you haven't got a Villa player, you should buy one tonight. But you can't buy Jack Grealish tonight.
No. So because of the four or five yellow cards imminent.
If he's the one, you have to wait till Saturday. Martinez is a great option. So it's another one I'm not gonna buy him tonight. If I make a move tonight, it'll only be El Ghazi. You wouldn't go for any of the defenders because no passing tiers on them. I think if you had to go one, you'd go Matty Cash. Watkins might solve a problem. He's cheap in this game, right? Solve a problem for you, but I think that's probably one for people who maybe Zuma to Watkins if you've only got two up front at the moment. But in your structure wise, if you're ending up like Watkins and Bamford, you're kind of stuck. And I don't think that people should go Bamford to Watkins at the moment. No. So it's a difficult one. But I just think if it was earlier in the season, rather than getting close to the overhaul, we'd look at it and go, okay, 6-4, definite captaincy at the weekend makes it effective 7-4 over a lot of teams. And if they have the extra game, it's going to be 8-4 or possibly even 9-4 because it's another captaincy. And that's what in my heart makes me want to go, what a punt he'd be, El Ghazi. But he would be back. The concerning thing about him is, as well, Ross Barkley's likely fit now.
Right.
So what does that mean? I think that it would be Barkley, Grealish and El Ghazi. But what if that's wrong?
Yeah, true.
I mean, you could go El Ghazi today. You see he's in the team. Barkley's on the bench. And then Barkley comes back into the team on Saturday.
The weekend. Yeah.
It's dangerous. Naughty. It's naughty.
Right. Should we cover some captaincy for the next few days, James? And then we can get into some of the Twitter questions. Although we have tonight, there's going to be quite a split between KDB and Bruno. I'm really torn because KDB's playing Villa, who are a better side, but Fulham are in form. Excuse me. Forgive my voice. Fulham are in form. So United against Fulham. But I think it's a real tough one tonight, which one to go for.
So KDB's got 96.5% ownership in the top 1,000. Yeah, Bruno Fernandes has 97.5% in the top 1,000. And I actually think that Bruno's will go up a little bit tonight because I think there's a few that probably went on and off to skip the Liverpool fixture. So I think Bruno's will even go higher tonight as well. It's a big night from that perspective in terms of which one you go for. To be honest, there'll be a lot of people that will go for Diaz or Stones and that.
Yeah.
My instinct on that would be that
not against Villa, man. Villa can score goals, I think.
Depends how the game goes, right? But we've seen games recently with City where I think Southampton away, Chelsea away, where if they've got enough concerns about the opposition, they're happy to sit a little bit deeper and cede possession. You would expect them to hit passing tiers, don't get me wrong. But I think there was a greater argument for going Diaz or Stones on Sunday gone rather than tonight, in my opinion. I'm probably going to go for Bruno, but I won't make that decision till I see the Villa team. If the Villa team has got weaknesses, things like Neil Taylor at left back, for example, or Martinez is not in goal, I think it looks like the majority of the squad from training pictures looks like it's going to be fit. But if there are weaknesses that I can see in that team, I'll go De Bruyne. If the Villa team is close to its strongest, I'm going to go Bruno Fernandes because Fulham have got a couple of key men missing as well. In Robinson is in suspended, and so too is Decor Dover-Reed, and that might really hurt them on the flanks actually. So I'm going to go Bruno as it stands, but it will be very dependent on what that Villa team is.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I was going to go KDB. It just feels a safer option, but depending on what we see with the team, yeah, sure.
Put it this way, whichever one you don't captain, you want the other one to blank.
Yeah.
I think the majority of people will go De Bruyne, worth saying. Because I just think it's in the mind, isn't it? In terms of, I mean, he was so good on Sunday as well. If he'd stayed on the pitch, he would have got man of the match.
Yeah. What about tomorrow night with Liverpool? Are you going to keep it simple and stick with Mo Salah?
Salah by default, yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about it is, and again, I don't know if it's another one where people have lined this up to come back to Salah, which is a possibility. But considering the ownership of the two guys we just mentioned, 77.5% ownership in the top 1,000 for Mo Salah, He's actually a little bit lower than what you'd suspect. I suspect that he will be in nearly all the teams in the top 200, though, come kickoff tomorrow night. So, yeah, it's going to have to be Mo Salah. But I think it's one where if you still had Robertson, that would be quite tempting, actually. Just because they're misfiring up front.
Yeah.
I think Robertson's possibly tempting as an alternative, but the default safe play is, of course, go Salah. That's what I'll be doing.
What about the Villa Newcastle game? I mean, is it highly dependent on if Grealish is fit? Grealish, or not fit, but available.
Available.
Yeah. If he's not, then who do you own? Is the next question, right? I own Martinez as well. So if Grealish is not available, I won't be scrambling to get a different asset. I'll just stick the armband on Martinez.
I don't think I'll skip it personally. Like, if Grealish is suspended, I think I will go and get El Ghazi or Martinez.
Yeah, I think it's a fair shout, mainly because there are other good assets at Villa. They're a good team. They've got a lot of fixtures backed up that they need to get through, and you can find good value in amongst their squad. So whoever it may be, I don't think it's worth skipping. I think finding a way to get Villa coverage is important. And don't forget how crap Newcastle are at the moment as well.
I think for me, if I end up in that position where I have to get a Villa player Saturday, I think it will be El Ghazi, and I'll make the move from Zuma, because I just think I'm on 18 left. If I go Leno to Martinez, great. I've got gains, brilliant. But then I'm down to 17. Then Zuma's costing me another transfer. Then I'm on 16. And I can't go below 15. That's my original opinion months ago was 15 left would be okay for overhaul. Then my opinion changed that you want to be nearer 20. And then you get things like this City gain, etc. And I think nearer sort of 17, 18 is probably about right. I don't want to be less than 15. I actually feel that if I go into overhaul with less than 15, irrespective of my position, I probably can't win the game.
Interesting. You can still win it, James.
Less confident than I was a couple of weeks ago. Maybe because I've had a good couple of weeks in FPL for a change. dented my Sky confidence.
Yeah, you only sing about the game that you're winning. Yeah, we'll talk about FPL on Friday. For anybody that just only tuned into Sky but does play FPL, we do have an FPL podcast, Friday main show. And before we record our next Sky Fantasy Football podcast, there will be another game day, which will be next Tuesday. Man City away at West Brom. Can you look past that right now?
No, I mean, to be honest, the midweeks next week is going to be difficult to make gains on the captaincy, because as long as they're available, it's Man City Tuesday, Kevin De Bruyne Wednesday, and then whatever you've got.
Bruno on Wednesday. Thursday.
What did I say? Sorry.
You said KDB Wednesday.
I meant Bruno. You know what I meant.
The other Manchester club. And Liverpool on Thursday. I think so, you're right.
If Zuma's in the team, I might captain Zuma just for chance.
Indeed. I think Man City will smash West Brom next week. On West Brom, I just want to put it out there in the pod. I'll probably say it again on Friday. Like, Big Sam, it's not fucking 1990, mate. When they're getting free kicks in their own half, or in and around the halfway line, and your tactics are, let me just smash it into the box and see what happens. Football's evolved, man. Like, defenders know how to defend the ball coming in. You can't... I really felt when I was watching a team just launch it into the penalty area from the halfway line, yep, Big Sam is back. But it just... football's moved on, man. I think teams can defend.
Wolves coped really well when that ball went into the box on Saturday.
Well, Wolves, we know, have got their own problems at the moment. But yeah, I just didn't think... I mean, to be fair, that West Brom are a big side. They've got some big units in there, but nah, I don't see them being able to cope with City next week for sure. Anyhow, we have a few questions on Twitter, James. So I think it's only fair that we answer them.
I haven't seen any of these because I sent the tweet out and I was watching Leicester-Chelsea delayed, so I didn't want to look at any of the responses.
No problem. I will preempt this with at least 55-60% of these, James, we have already answered.
Okay. And is that Zuma questions, is it?
No, it's not. It's Villa and Arsenal questions, actually, okay, more than anything else. But there are a few other interesting ones in here, and we'll rattle through them. If we've answered them, keep them. So... FPL Dempsey, are Arsenal assets worth holding until overhaul, pun intended. I mean, it depends on who you have, right? But they are finding some form. For me, where I own the likes of Saka, he's cheap, right? So I don't want to be pissing about. Firstly, he's playing every game. They're looking much more of a threat going forward. And I don't want to be pissing about wasting a transfer on a £6 million player or whatever he's cost me. So I'm going to be holding Saka through. But if you're owning one of the centre-backs like Holding and whoever else, there is a little bit of this rotation risk, isn't there? 7 million.
I mean, particularly in the case of Rob Holding, if that's the player you've bought, you've won from the Arsenal double, essentially. That was the best choice. So I think his value as well, he'd be the sort of one now where, I don't know, let's say you got injured against Southampton next week, you're probably looking at that and going, I'm going to go with 10 players to the overhaul now. There's a possibility. So I think anything beyond that, if he played Southampton, played against Man United, if he picked up an injury tag against Man United, you'd definitely just leave it, I think, with two games to go. What are you going to get at that value that's going to be worth the transfer? Probably not a lot. No. So it depends where you're at. If you've got Aubameyang, move, sell. If you've got Lacazette, move, sell.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's where I'm talking about certain people like Bruno and Salah, their ownership may still increase over the next 2 days. I mean, Bruno's can't increase a lot, but it will. Because I think a few would have gone, taken the chance on Aubameyang, go, look, I'll have the two games. I'll miss Bruno at Liverpool and then get him back tonight, for example. I think there's a few that would have played that way. So if you've got Aubameyang's Lacazette, the chances are you've already got a plan on how you're moving that anyway. Aubameyang, even despite the haul of Monday night, did not match Rob Holding over the two games. Rob Holding 6.4.
We've talked about Zouma and what to do, whether it's worth keeping for the overhaul. Obviously, so much dependent on your own squad. Josh is asking about Zouma. But FPL parking the bus as a simple A or B question for Villa coverage. Would you get Konsa or Cash?
I'd go Cash over Konsa. Konsa... Do you know what? It's a difficult one. Depends on the value a little bit. If you're slightly worried about that in any way, then just go Konsa. There's not a lot in it. I think Matty Cash is someone who's been really improving to the extent that there's an attacking return in him somewhere. And oddly enough, there might even be a man of the match in there somewhere soon. Konsa is literally going to be clean sheet or goal. Now, him and Mings are always capable of getting goals from centre-half. Even against Newcastle, they probably won't hit passing tier, honestly. Cash has also got the benefit of potential the odd tackle tier possibly as well. I would slightly favour Matty Cash, but I think I'd probably not many would agree with that opinion, actually.
I mean, Konsa was quite good the earlier part of the season. They're quite cheap as well. Ron Mintz at Sky FF. We have answered this. Let's just summarise it. For those without cover, Villa Newcastle single game day. Is it a must cover or save a transfer and skip it?
It's definitely not a must cover. It's definitely not a must cover.
My
opinion is that I will, most likely, if Grealish is not available. But it's definitely not a must cover. Not at all. And to be honest, if Grealish is out, even more so. Because what's the worst that's going to happen? Or someone's going to get a Martinez or an El Ghazi or a Watkins? Is it gonna damage badly? It's going to be a differential, whomever it is. So, but Martinez ownership is okay, but it's not big. I'm not even sure what it is, actually. I mean, Martinez, let me just check. He's 30% owned in the top 1,000.
Okay.
So a lot's obviously going to fall by that onto default. Jack Grealish ownership now is down to 27.2% the top 1,000. That will go back up, I should imagine. El Ghazi, three people in the top 1,000 own him. And I like that because everybody's so stuck on the template at the moment. Like I said, if Grealish is not available Saturday, I will likely go El Ghazi and punt it.
Azuri Fox, is it viable to captain a Liverpool defender over the forwards this Thursday and go without Salah and Mane until overhaul?
Yeah, just spouting that as a possibility.
I do like the idea of captaining a defender, but I don't. I'm not so keen about going without Salah or Mane, particularly Salah, just because. Of the ownership number, right, is very high.
It's probably more the case for those. If you've got Salah, the safe thing to do is obviously captain him. If you're chasing a little bit, then Robertson is a very viable alternative. I wish I hadn't sold the bastard. I knew that selling him before it's kind of worked out in terms of the moving around of the funds. I'd have had more problems if I didn't. But I knew that timing wise, before two home games, irrespective of playing United, wasn't a good time to be bidding him. And he will almost certainly pick up passing tiers against Burnley, you would think. So, although I think Trent had a lot more involvement at the weekend, but you're not buying Trent at the moment.
No. Andrew Paget, which United player stroke forward? He says player forward, so I don't know if he means actual striker or any attacking player, is the best option for the next three, Fulham, Sheffield United and Arsenal. I mean, if it's just the which Manchester United player forward is the best option for the next three fixtures? I don't know if that means forward or it means just player that's a forward player, because Bruno obviously is the straightforward answer there.
I'm going to assume that the fact that that only says three fixtures means there's an intention to buy Kane or Salah the following day.
Right.
That fixture, just by the way, for United on Saturday the 30th away to Arsenal, should be a lock because it's been a named television game. But it's worth remembering there are a few fixtures at 3 o'clock on that Saturday that could yet move. And that we should almost definitely find out before the weekend, even if we don't get the February TV picks. So those are Chelsea versus Burnley, Crystal Palace versus Wolves, Manchester City versus Sheffield United, and there's West Brom Fulham as well. And I think Wolves Palace. So there's a number of, I said Palace Wolves. West Brom Fulham's the other one, which now can't be a Friday night, which is nice. Not that anyone was going to bother with that one. So those four fixtures could still move. Now, obviously, if Man City Sheffield United moves to a Sunday, then the need to get a Kane or a Salah to cover the captaincy that Sunday doesn't feel quite as big all of a sudden, for example. Mm. So just be a little bit aware of that. I think City Sheffield United is highly, highly likely to stay on the Saturday, that one particularly, actually. It'll change now, I've said that, no doubt. But I think if you're buying a United player now, you should probably be looking all the way to the end. I think, rather than all next three. We've got five fixtures from tonight. I'd be looking for someone for all five. And I haven't got enough confidence in a Rashford or a Martial or a Pogba to tell you any of them.
No.
Personally. Yeah, it's just Bruno and you're just covering. It's a shield. You just make sure that no one else beats you with him, basically.
Yeah. Mikey, there's a few people, actually. So let me just summarise a few people's questions with one word. Vardy. Because I bought him an FPL on the wild card, knowing the double game week was around the corner, thinking, you know what, come on, Jamie. You ain't done nothing, mate.
Liam Dorion, last year's winner, was highlighting that he's got an awful record historically in January. I don't buy too much into those sort of things. But
no,
yes,
me neither.
Since the Tottenham game, there's a few that possibly went on either the Tottenham game or afterwards. 5-1, 5-2-2. He's not great. He hasn't scored in five, right? Oh, admittedly, he didn't start at Crystal Palace, so let's call it four. But it does feel like not a great run. That said, there are games coming up which are very interesting for Jamie Vardy. So, for example, they play Leeds on that Sunday when Kane plays Brighton and Salah plays West Ham. Which one's the best option out of three of them? Vardy playing Leeds, Kane playing Brighton, Salah playing West Ham.
I don't think there's much in it. I mean, I definitely think Salah versus West Ham, we're very solid defensively. I mean, Vardy will have space against Leeds, sure. So probably Vardy, Kane, but there's not much in it. There's not much in it. Vardy or Kane, I would say.
To be honest, I'd be more tempted to buy him than sell him at the moment, actually, with some of the fixtures coming up. We've still got to play who's after Leeds, Fulham away. Wolves away, they're not brilliant at the moment. Everton away. Everton are obviously doing very well, but they can be hit and miss. When Everton have a bad day, they have a really bad day. So, to be honest, I'd be more tempted to buy him than sell him at the moment. Unless you're struggling. If you're in a position you haven't got a Salah, Bruno, KDB, you want the extra City defender, for example, fine, not going to put you off that. I don't think you'd be going value-wise from Leicester to Villa unless it's to really build you up for something else, like getting Salah back tomorrow, for example. So I'd be more looking at possibly buying. Because one of the things I've earmarked about, obviously, perhaps buying Kane on that Sunday, the 31st, is that it might be Vardy instead by the time I get there. I might decide that's the player that I want more. One thing that wants to push me into Kane more than Vardy is not the fixtures that day, it's the fact that Kane plays West Brom on the last weekend before the overhaul, and they might have Villa in the midweek afterwards.
And let's give the last question to Tartan Espanol. As we are roughly halfway through the season, would you like to see, this is a general Sky FF question more than specifically, who shall I buy? Would you like to see any other bonus point categories added to the current tackle pass shot on target, perhaps completed dribbles or another category? Any thoughts, James? I don't like completed dribbles. I think completed dribbles.
I was going to say it probably would have to be vague. That though. Why is it vague?
How many touches counts as a dribble?
It's not touches. It's as if you beat a man, isn't it? If you go past the player.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Fine.
You can. I don't know enough statistics on dribbles to be honest, but you can obviously set the bar appropriately. I mean, tackles and shots are not the same number, are they? You could set the bar appropriately, but then it would make people like Anguissa really interesting, who like you would never mention at the moment because he's got one of the best dribble records in the league, for example. And the more people that are available to the game, the better. I mean, someone like Wilfried Zaha, who's so hit and miss. But if you had that extra incentive of, say, the dribbles and stuff, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
I think defence-wise, I don't know about headed clearances.
Oh, sod that, mate.
Because so many defenders just whack the ball away, but they don't make tackles, right?
Well, James Tarkowski would be the first name in the team next season, mate.
Sure, but then his price would go up appropriately. But some of these defenders, big, strong defenders, even our centre-backs, if you look at Dawson or whatever, he doesn't make a lot of tackles, but he's heading the ball away for fun. Consistently throughout a game. So I don't know if that would make them potentially more appealing. Crosses?
Clearances, blocks, interceptions. Crosses is an interesting idea, but then do we really want to play a fantasy game where we're filling our teams full of corner takers?
True. And does a corner count as a cross? Yeah, I get that.
It does.
I'm not desperate to see anything new added, if I'm honest with you, at the moment.
No, I think it's fine. I have to say, I feel like Man of the Match awards this season generally have been better, generally, than my experience with it last year, where it really did feel like a lot of the time it was just give it to your fucking guy with the most ownership. I feel like there was certainly one day over the Christmas period where all four Man of the Matches were useless to everybody. But they were the right calls, and I thought, well, that's right. They were the best player on the pitch in those games. So I feel that's been better this year, but I would probably still do away with it.
Indeed. There we go, James. That's enough of Sky for another week. Inching closer and closer to overhaul. Hope you enjoy the games this evening. I hope you get your captaincies right. Do stay tuned next week for another Sky Fantasy Football Rundown. We're also releasing a Sky Fantasy Football Extra Time podcast this week, potentially for Patreons as well. So if you're quite a dedicated player, get really into the game, then it might be worth something to consider. Patreon.com/PlanetFPL. We have quite an active Slack community of Sky Fantasy Football managers that are, you know, quite open and will share their transfers and captaincy and all the rest of it. I don't know how that's going to be in the last 10 weeks, though, James. Maybe everyone's going to just shut up and not share anything in Slack on their Sky teams, especially the people in the top 50.
The way the guys are in the Slack channel, no, they're very helpful. The winner of the game is probably in there as well.
Let's hope so. So thank you for all your support. If you are
that's
already
not
a patient,
me, by the way.
And that's all. And most importantly, it just leaves me to say, stay safe wherever you are. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Good luck this game week. Cue music, please, man. Ciao.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.